I feel like in the last 5 years, on-demand fitness has really boomed, and it's made things like Peloton,
Right.
who really carved out, like, and cleared the path for a lot of the connected fitness technology that they now have. Like, now
Right.
there's freaking mirrors, and there's bikes, and
Yeah.
there's treadmills, and all kinds of smart equipment
Right.
that now is integrated into classes and personal instruction. And everybody and their grandmother has an on-demand fitness class that you can subscribe to now, it
Right.
seems like. And I think just in the last 5 years that became possible. I mean, I
Yeah.
think
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back to another fantastic 2020 episode. And because 2020, let's be honest, sounds so kind of space age.
It's
yeah.
The future.
Like,
we're here.
Like 2020. I feel like when I was younger, I used to think we'd be flying in cars. Like it'd be the Jetsons, basically. So we're actually going to kind of talk a little bit about that, because with the time it is and other things happening in the world, we are going to be talking technology. And specifically how it has evolved and how it's a part of our lives.
Right.
And specific to health and fitness, but also talking a little bit later about maybe some of the new things on the horizon. If anybody's listened to this podcast previous years, we have done a CES kind of highlights of the best health and fitness technology trends that we're excited for. And this year we're going to wrap up today's episode with some more kind of, I don't know, exciting slash, I think inspiring, encouraging kind of technology, or maybe
yeah,
scary.
That's what I say. It depends who, what your
yeah,
perspective
maybe,
is.
Maybe terrifying. Maybe the robots are taking over everything. But before we get into that,
yeah,
I know we have some non technology, amazing recommendations to share. And that has to do with gainful protein.
Well, I think it's somewhat technology.
It's technology created.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take a specific online quiz in order to get your prescribed protein powder.
But thankfully, it's the actual product you get.
Yeah, it's not very technological.
Pretty straightforward.
Exactly. That's right.
Which we like.
Just open, insert into liquid, and stir or shake.
And dissolve and shake.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys are looking for a protein powder that matches your fitness goals, dietary preferences, recovery habits, then you need to go to gainful.com/addicted to get $15 off your first order of personalized protein powder.
Yeah, take the mystery out. Skip the ridiculous aisle at the grocery store with 80,000 different proteins. How the heck do you know the difference between any of them? Go to people who are actually structured a quiz that's going to figure it out. Create your customized blend and then ship it to your door.
That's it. I mean, that's right. Try it. Once again, gainful.com/addicted to get $15 off. So, training recaps. We're keeping this train moving. I think both you and I are doing pretty good on keeping our movement goals for the last couple of weeks. I know I hit mine 4 days a week, even though my fourth day was a smaller workout. I had exactly 15 minutes workout to get in, or 15 minutes to work out. I'm going to try to say this again. I only had 15 minutes to get my workout in. There we go. So, and I did. I got some in. It wasn't a full workout that I would like, but it was definitely something. So I was pretty happy I got to do it.
I actually had like a thought this week, and I feel like one of the biggest, I know last week's podcast, we talked about habits and how you can keep up with them. And one of the big kind of issues that we highlighted in why maybe keeping a habit or establishing a habit is a failure is our expectations. But I think one of kind of along those same lines, really, we're our worst enemy in terms of setting expectations, because we're all conditioned to put all of these parameters around what things should be like. You know, it's instead of, as we also mentioned last week, of just kind of celebrating the small victories and like celebrating the little things, why don't we ever just celebrate and say, I actually got out and went for a 10-minute walk, or I meditated for 5 minutes, or like, why do we have to put all the parameters around like, well, I only did 15 minutes today. I mean, I know that there's progress tracking and stuff that right. has a lot to do with kind of defining what you do. But I think especially when you're in like the early stages of establishing either new routines, rituals, habits, whatever you want to call them, I think it's important to celebrate, particularly just not defining them so much and just going for kind of just anything. So sort of like celebrating the small victory, but instead of putting the parameters around, I have to do a 30-minute run. Like I went to go out with the dog this week. And I was like, well, 30-minute run is what I usually would call like, you know, my workout. Uh-huh. And anything less than that doesn't quite feel like a workout. But really, anytime you get your butt out the door and do something, you should be proud of that.
Right. And I understand what you're saying. And I think I was proud of that. I'm definitely proud I got 4 days in, and glad I got any movement in all, you know. It's just one of those things, you know, when you allocate yourself an hour to work out and you get minimized to 15 minutes, you know, not that you're not proud or not happy about it, but, you know, you're left wanting more to a certain extent, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. So, but I do get with your, especially with somebody who's, you know, just goal is to achieve movement, you know, in regular, you know, trying to create that habit. I think any length of workout is good.
Yeah. As long as you didn't get down yourself.
No, I was happy. Like I said, I knew, I mean, that was, I had to find that 15 minutes to actually pull that off. So I did, and it was good. So that was beneficial. And that was my week. What about yours for training? I know you got out with the dog.
Yep, I did that one day. I did a HIIT workout. I did spinning. I did just like kind of some basic strength and mini yoga.
Mini yoga?
Mini yoga sessions. Like, you know, like just some sun salutations to kind of wake up.
Yeah.
Not what I would call a practice where I didn't even get on the mat. I did them just like in the bedroom when I got up. So, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, there's a lot of just specific things I've put around qualifying what a yoga practice is to me, but I'm trying to be satisfied with myself.
Right.
And proud of just doing something. Mm. Because that in itself is a small like celebration.
Yeah.
Worth a small celebration right now, I feel like. Because even that little bit, it really does make me feel better.
Right.
There was like a time during, I don't know, like the October, November time period where sitting, like my hips got really sore. I think because they got so tight. And I just wasn't doing like enough activity. And whenever I would sit for a long period of time, like it would be hard to stand up. It was like really painful. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I am getting older. But it really had a lot to do with kind of just not moving enough.
Right. Yeah. And I think as far as habits go, I'm pretty happy with less, you know, basically this year so far. And some of my regular habits that I wanted to incorporate, kind of like you're wanting to incorporate some sort of movement or even little mini yoga movements or kind of
just like brief practices.
Right.
Yeah.
Meditation and cold showers. So those were a couple things that I wanted to try to get into this on a regular basis. So in the last week, it's been going good.
Good.
You know, like got my 5 minutes of headspace. Usually got, you know, several days in. I don't think I missed too many days this week. And then the cold showers are going good. You know, I'm not letting the shower run or heat up anymore. It's jumping in. So no one is beneficial to me, but it's saving us water. So
okay,
there we go. Win-win.
That sounds terrible to me.
It definitely wakes you up. That's for sure. So, and another thing that I'm trying to do, mostly because, not mostly, but I would say thanks to you, was wear my new Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I like the, what do they call them?
You had a Fitbit Charge.
Yeah. So what do they call it? Fitness wearables, or is that one?
Yeah. Wearable fitness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's,
fitness trackers.
Yeah. It's in the fitness tracker family. Yep. It's, you know, it's connected to your cell phone. So there's some smart watch type things that are part of the Fitbit.
Right.
But you'd had that for a year.
Yep.
And you kind of sort of broke it for a little while, almost broke it. Apparently, wasn't sure.
Yeah. Well, I definitely broke the band for one point, so.
And also, I've had it for over 2 years. I've had the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And I've loved it. I mean, like, I really felt like it was a game changer. I got it actually right. That was like my quote unquote push present to myself.
Right.
Was getting that watch because I just had Ella and it came in so, so handy. Like it came in handy as a timer, as an alarm. I constantly lost my phone. It was super important to help me track it down. But I'm really interested to hear that coming from the Fitbit Charge, coming from You're not any less technologically savvy. Like, if I put a piece of technology in front of you, you know how to use it.
Right.
But I think, like, you don't have that, like, interest that I have
Very true.
So I was a little worried. And that you would just be like, well, why do I need this? So please. Do enlighten us. What is your overall kind of feedback on it?
I do enjoy it. You know, I love kind of the tracking workouts, and I probably need to do a little bit more about, I don't know if I have to enter my stats in or whatever, but it's like really cool about, you know, tracking heart rate during workouts or certain type of workouts. So tallying up your calories burned, your minutes of exercise, how much you're standing, things like that. So I really like that aspect of it. And I obviously love the finding out my heart rate, my resting heart rate, which my walking heart rate is. So it's really good at tracking that data. So I haven't seen it like really translated onto the phone yet. I haven't really looked into that too much, but like using it on my wrist, really dig it, you know? So I mean, it's great for timer, great for helping me get a little bit more exact about, you know, my rest intervals while I'm working out. So I like that too. I probably haven't even explored everything that it can do. So
I mean, half the features on my watch, Ella discovered for me as a baby, just like playing with it. And I was like, how the heck did you do that? So she's going to have to help you discover some things
apparently.
Too. But
yep.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I mean, I've always been a watch wearer, or I have been for as long as I can remember. And I was really against smartwatches because, I mean, you're going away with the Apple Watch. You're going away from what they call fitness trackers to an actual smartwatch.
Yep.
And I was really against them for a long time. I was like, no way I'm giving up my classic, you know, I had a really nice, like, wood watch that people would like stop me for. I mean, it was really just a beautiful watch. And there's something I still really love about the look of a nice classic watch. But in terms of efficiency, like, you just can't deny the fact that a smartwatch is really handy.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm surprised.
I definitely like the aspects of it, like, you know, being able to see text messages and just like give a thumbs up or something like that real quick. But that's also kind of, and like I said, I haven't really investigated all the other type of features on it. But it's interesting, like, I like being able to, especially my kind of, I guess, with my job and my business, I gotta being a little bit more available helps. But then I'm also more available, you know, for people to get a hold of me, you know, to even during times whenever I'm wearing the watch, I can see if somebody's trying to get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know, not that that's a bad thing during business hours, but you know, it's like when is it time to kind of shut it off?
Yeah.
But it's better than looking at your phone, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, staring down at your phone and stuff like that. So,
yep.
I do like that aspect. But, you know, it's just one thing I worry about, and I think this is kind of where the big topic we want to get into was, you know, the basically connection between technology and fitness. You know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, it seems like an inevitable thing. As far as, I mean, fitness in many areas, technology is kind of becoming, we're kind of merging with technology a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think fitness, you know, I think back, I don't even know if I can get really precise, but like 5 years ago, where we were, the things we were able to do, I mean, I was still trucking it to the gym for my spin classes.
5 years ago?
Yeah. 5 years ago. Still doing that. Like, there were, like, some classes, like, on YouTube that I would check out, but I feel like in the last 5 years, on-demand fitness has really boomed, and it's made things like Peloton,
right,
who really carved out, like, in cleared the path for a lot of the connected fitness technology that they now have. Like, now there's freaking mirrors and there's bikes and there's treadmills and all kinds of smart equipment that now is integrated into classes and personal instruction. And, you know, everybody and their grandmother has an on-demand fitness class that you can subscribe to now, it seems like. And I think just in the last 5 years, that became possible. I mean, I think 10 years back, I think the biggest leap has been in the last, like, 5 years. Because I think 10 years back, and it was kind of the same, there really were not subscription services 10 years ago.
Right.
I don't think. I think 10 years ago, I remember there was one website that I followed, and it was all YouTube based, and it was all free videos, and it was awesome workouts. But they were, like, one of the first in that field, like, of HIIT workouts doing that. And then all of a sudden, YouTube took over and everybody started putting their content there. It was like pre-YouTube. It was that Body Rock site, remember?
Yep.
And it was all on this one website. And then YouTube popped up and everybody, all these fitness people started posting their stuff there.
Right.
That was like the first wave, I think. But that happened, you know, between 5 and 10 years ago. Before that, I don't know. I mean, I think it was always limited. Technology for fitness was limited to the gyms and the professionals. And, like, I feel like you had to go to the professionals to get any kind of customized advice or equipment or anything like that. And you had to go to the gyms and all that to really access that. I mean, if you wanted really great nutrition information, freaking A, you had to go to a nutritionist. Like, even the nutrition information available 10 years ago was nothing like it is now.
Right.
We have an app that we can, like, take a picture of food.
Right.
And it will match us up with the nutrition information.
Yeah, it's true.
Crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, that is quite interesting how that's developed. And like I said, I think those aspects, like the one you listed, it's especially the nutrition one. I think having the as much available knowledge about those is definitely helpful. And I don't think the way kind of like subscription based fitness has gone is bad necessarily. I think just working in the industry, there's one thing that the biggest thing that people need, things people like myself, like personal trainers, is for accountability. You know, and we talked about kind of one of the ways to perpetuate or to maintain your habits or resolutions you set was having an accountability partner. So that's one thing that's, I think you could definitely have that with technology, with the type of FaceTime and stuff that exists now.
Well, even like the Apple Watch has the ability to connect with other friends with Apple Watches and then compete with each other.
Right.
Which is a way, yeah. It's kind of accountability.
Yeah. You can share. Everybody that's has told me about that said they're not sharing it with me. So they're like, no, I'm not going to share them with you. Or, so it's like, I don't know. I don't know if competition is still...
I don't know very many people that do that, though, because nobody wants their like friends or family or whatever to know their fitness. It's so, like they're ashamed or something.
That's the thing. But like I said, that's the only thing I'm wondering. And it's getting there where people are using FaceTime. You talked about the mirror, which is essentially like the big kind of like your personal trainer in your home. But it's
so
always...
freaking expensive. Yes. It's so not
and
worth
also,
it.
Also, you got to... You know, it's one of those things. It's having an external person that essentially like calls you or texts you and say, hey, are we working out today? It like motivates you more.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure there's, you know, technology is going to find a solution to that. But it's just, it's something that hasn't, I think, replaced it yet. I think more and more people are using it, obviously. Like, you're using the subscription and the apps and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they already have stuff where they, like, are like, hey, do you want a reminder where I text you every day to work out? Yep. And they'll have it right there for you.
I get emails from Peloton.
Yep. So, it's happening. It's just, it's interesting. It's like, I think it's going to take a little while longer for people to catch up. But, you know, it's a... The person-to-person, you know, training or is still viable.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I know we're this is really where we wanted to go with our conversation was to talk about new technology coming out.
Right.
There are actually new, and I'm trying to remember what it was for. Maybe it was like the Xbox Kinect or something like that. One of those companies that does all of the... I just saw it on social media. Like, someone that I follow on social media was at CES, and she was testing this, like, they called it, like, a yoga thing, where they did, like, a scan, and they had you go through all the body motions, and then it analyzed, like, your body movement. So it was kind of like the mirror.
Right.
I think that's what the mirror is, like, also supposed to check, like, your form and stuff like that. But I think it was, like, to, like, the next level, you know, where it was actually, like, giving you... direction based off of that form and whatnot. Yeah. But that was like, to me, that was creepy. Like, it's too, and maybe at some point, maybe like, you know, our parents and grandparents are like, oh my God, the fact that you do these things online is creepy. But having a computer analyzing my body movements for my workout just doesn't do it for me. I don't know why.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like, it's just
now,
this,
what do you mean it analyzes your... Does it give you feedback on what you need to do? Or?
I think so. Like, it tells you whether you've gotten to a position and, like, tells you where to go next. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just... It's too much hand-holding. I mean, it's got to be a personal preference for sure. It's just way too much hand-holding. I think the only place that kind of in-depth look at your every movement would be like more like PT and like therapy related. But just as a workout, I'm like, that's way more than I want anybody commenting. Like, going to a professional trainer and like, you know, being a yoga teacher – one of the things you learn to do is just habit is to see quickly kind of when somebody's not in the alignment or position that you think they should be in, you learn when that's something you have to correct.
Yep.
And when it's a correction that person is making because they're not able to get to the place where you're telling them to go. You know, like sometimes maybe somebody will be hyperextended and maybe they don't have, you know, the strength to bend their arms, right, or whatever it is, and to tell them, well, you're doing it wrong, or you're like, you should do it this way. And maybe that's not a great example, but if their knee's not bent enough or something, maybe they have an injury,
right,
you know, like there's things that still, like, that real person and like people still have to make the decision. So unless a computer would know that, like, it's,
yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of things that I just, I don't know. It's just too much.
I know. And then, like I said, it's, I think especially with artificial intelligence, and we were looking at the article about CES, the, some of the health products that were debuted at the 2020 CES, which, what is CES for those who don't know?
It's the Consumer Electronics Show.
Mm-hmm.
It is the largest electronics show in, I think, at least the country. But it's essentially, it's every year in January, very start of the year, all technology makers. And now it's really anybody who makes anything with technology. It's car makers,
yeah,
and medical companies and anybody. They come out and they basically showcase their latest and greatest technology. Like, you always see this rush of news coverage around, like, the ridiculous TV screens that come out every,
right,
year. Like, things you're never going to purchase for your home.
It's like a Touch of Modern. Like, that stupid catalog, Touch of Modern. You know the ones they have, like, in the Sky Mall,
oh,
on the airplane?
Yeah, those were CES items from, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah. Stuff, but, that, like, you'd never buy.
It's like, you know, oh, look, it's a wavy monitor. Like, it's bent, and it's, like, it's, you know, it's a quarter inch thick. And, mm-hmm, it's like, I don't need that in my house.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of showing you how technology has progressed. And there are a lot of products at this show that,
yeah,
actually maybe they launch them here for sale. Some of them are just purely, like, beta. They're just kind of, hey, here's where we're going. They're just for demo. They're not really producing them or manufacturing them yet, but maybe a smaller scale version will be later on. It's really to show the capabilities of technology as well as what you'll see on the market,
right,
that year probably. Also, why, if you do want to buy a television, buying it in the late part of the year is always good because all of the manufacturers go and buy the new TVs after CES.
Gotcha.
At least that's how it used to work. But I think that this used to be a industry event. It is now attended by celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What celebrities are,
like, going? Really top list celebrities. Like, they do their home shopping at these events.
Really?
Yes. Mm. There's a lot of, like, anybody who has a really sexy product, they might get somebody to go that is a very big celebrity. A lot of celebrities are, like, VCs for some of these technology companies.
Right.
So it's kind of a cool, like, I've been fascinated with CES ever since I had to work with the show itself for some of my clients that used to attend. And I went to, it's held in Las Vegas every year, and I got to go to Las Vegas right around CES. I walked by the trade show, but I didn't actually get to go in. And there are a lot of other trade shows around that same time in the same area. So it's interesting. I think it's become much more of just a regular person interest. But I think what a lot of people are interested in is the lifestyle products.
Right.
Particularly health,
yeah,
and fitness.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about this before, and we talked about some of the like, it seemed in years past, fitness trackers were a big kind of a popular topic or trend. I know we talked about earphones that, like, emit some sort of, like, electronic signal or sound that actually helps. No, it actually helps people focus more when they exercise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I remember that. And then sleep, last year they were talking about how big sleep stuff was. So this year apparently a lot of it was, you know, about non-invasive blood glucose monitoring.
There's a lot of medical technology.
Yes, thank you. A lot of medical technology.
Some of those medical tests and more kind of like routine things you might have to go to a doctor for.
Yep.
And maybe, like, we're not talking surgery, but more of just, like those obnoxious tests that you'd have to get. So, like, like the blood glucose and some of the other
fertility
nutrient trackings. Yeah, the fertility. Like, we actually saw there was a sperm, at-home sperm tester.
Mm-hmm. If you guys thought the stool sampling stuff was invasive.
Oh, my gosh.
Or not invasive, but maybe
it's
awkward.
It's a, yeah, it's a sperm test.
Yes.
And things around fertility, because they're so freaking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would be very receptive to finding not just more accessible, but more cost-effective solutions for fertility. These are still relatively, I mean, it's like tracking your cycle and more precise measurement there. And yeah, the, you know, thanks. It's all you, dude. yeah, the sperm test where it says it actually comes with an analysis kit that can tell you about your sperm count and motility. If anybody, every time I hear that, I think of the Friends episode where Chandler's, where they're, Monica and Chandler are talking about, like, their fertility challenges, and where he's like, so basically, he's like, my sperm are too lazy to get off the couch, and he's like, and your ovaries or whatever are ready to destroy the ones that do. It's just like, oh man, it's a, everybody in some way has concerns about this.
Yeah, with this sperm test, apparently you can even view the actual sperm in a video on your app.
That's so creepy.
You got that going for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously this is, as Shannon said, the kind of the like tedious kind of health, basically, procedures you have to go through.
It used to be stuff you had to go to a doctor for, but it was like the annoying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, gosh, I have to go have this blood work done. I got to go in and, like, you know, do some stuff into a cup or whatever it is. Like, you used to have doctors do this.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's technology that's become so sophisticated. This has reached at-home levels. There's other technology that they talked about, which gets into, I know, the area that really freaks you out specifically is the artificial intelligence.
Right.
But I think this is really like leading into more of the, we talked about the
telemedicine
trend, which is very much a part of our future. Like it's happening now. It's handy, but it needs to become more sophisticated because people are not sophisticated. Yep. They are not educated enough. So there needs to be at-home tools and technology that can supplement what a doctor is really going to need to make an accurate assessment.
Yep.
So it seems like, I mean, the MediWand, that thing, it has like 10 different medical diagnostic functions that your doctor can examine you remotely with.
Yeah, and this is something that they did at CES.
Yeah, and I mean, the Heart Hero, it's a portable arterial defibrillator. I can't ever say that.
Yes, AED. Much portable easier to say.
Atrial defibrillator. And then there's, you know, things for like testing your urine, things for that are smart, like goes beyond just a smartwatch, things that are actually doing electrocardiograms to check for arrhythmia, blood oxygen levels. I mean, it's getting very, technology is getting much more sophisticated and sensitive. So that side, I think, you know, I've been learning a lot more about like the life sciences lately, just mm-hmm. in my professional world. And it's super interesting. And I think there's a little bit of that, holy crap, are we here kind of sensation running through your head when you right. hear like artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
But it's not the Terminator, you know, it's not Skynet. It's not that level yet.
All I know is that today, or in our house, I have to talk to three different robots because I can't say, hey, Siri. Wait, I mean, hey, Alexa. Wait, I mean, hey, Google.
You have to get names right.
Yes, yeah, I have to get the robots' names right
We do not follow just one. If we really wanted to, we could just get one device. We could have like all Apple, or we could have all Alexa. But
I'm just hoping they fight each other, not us. When the robot war comes,
they're gonna take over.
They go out after each other.
Amazon versus Google versus Apple.
If I pledge allegiance to one, I'm fine with that. I'll just see whoever's got the most firepower. I'll be on their side. I think, like I said, I don't think the marriage or the kind of the relationship of fitness and technology is necessarily a bad thing. You know, obviously pros and cons, but I think as it exists right now, you still need a lot of the kind of human wherewithal in order to achieve those habits that we've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot rely on technology to essentially make you get up or make you get on the bike, make you turn on the TV,
right.
make you subscribe to the app or that you want to use. It still needs a little bit of that want to and that those habit forming tactics that we even talked about last week to help you even just use those technology. Thankfully, technology is giving you more options, I think, in regards to what type of fitness or where essentially you can find fitness meet you where you want it to, you know, or serve you how you want it to.
Yeah, and I think that's my kind of, if I was going to start or stop with this conversation somewhere, it's really that because there are so many different needs of people, everybody's at a different point in their health and fitness journey. And I think that technology has made so much more accessible to such a wider group of people. You know, if you weren't able to go into a studio boutique for a workout class, chances are you can get that workout class now in your home.
Right.
And maybe that working out in a class was a barrier for you. Now that's not a barrier for you anymore. But I do feel as well that kind of like you said, like there's a time where you're almost too connected.
Yep.
You know, exactly. And it's one of those situations where I think this is going to be the battle that we fight as human beings in the coming like 10 years. It's going to be really, we're going to experience a wave of sort of resistance among just people and the technology that maybe we're getting too reliant on. And it's technology can assist you. But it's when you're reliant on technology for like your happiness that it gets a little scary.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, and kind of along that lines, don't forget just to go out and enjoy what the physical world still gives you as far as running or walking or biking.
Yeah.
You know, try to disconnect from technology. I mean, those digital detox that we've talked about in the past, you know, they definitely help too.
Yep.
You know, so I think have a little bit of both, you know.
Yeah, and I do think that like health coaches and personal trainers, I think one of the services that they're going to be providing in the coming years, this is something for you.
Yeah.
Is part of my digital wellness kind of predictions and thoughts is that you're going to have to be savvy enough with what exists to really customize programs for technology for people. So when you have someone that comes to you and says, well, I got all this other stuff and I need this in my life, but I don't have the time for this or I don't have access to this, it's going to be up to some other professional to say, okay, we're going to get down to what exactly it is you want. We're going to look at your unique lifestyle, and not just why we're here, am I going to tell you what to do right here, but I'm also going to recommend the tools and the technology that can extend what we're doing here in person to other aspects of your lifestyle.
Right.
I think that is going to be a service that people will pay for. They'll say, well, I've got all my Apple technology, I've got all this, but I've got, you know, I've got all this other stuff over here. Should I be doing this? It's like, well, here's how you do that. What do you have? Here's how you can use it to do better versus use everything because you have to. It's going to be telling people how to more wisely use their technology.
Yeah.
For their well-being.
I agree. You know one way they can wisely use their technology?
Listen to our podcast.
That's right. And share it.
Yeah.
Share it with a friend.
So easy.
Yes. Especially if you're an Apple user, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can just share it. Text somebody a link to the episode. Boom.
Yeah.
And you're spreading the good word of fitness for us. And we appreciate that. You could also use technology to get $15 off your first order of Gainful protein. Go to Gainful.com/addicted. Tell them the Addicted Fitness Podcast sent you. Got anything else for them this week?
No, I'm ready to shut most of the technology down and kick it old school with like a good book.
There we go. This has been another edition of the Addicted Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.